Praise God. Praise God, my brother, my sister. Thank you for joining in this channel. My name is Pastor Emmanuel Soma. I love the Lord as my personal savior. And I know God has given us a wonderful opportunity to study God's word through this channel. The channel is called Spirit and Life, and what it comes from the book of John chapter 6 verse 63, where Jesus told his disciples that the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And thus we believe that each time we look at God's word, he is able to communicate to us through his spirit, and his words bring life. And I tell you, any dead situation comes back to life when it encounters the word of God. And I know it's not a mistake that you're listening. And I know that the Lord has something in store for you this morning. So let us join in. Let us be encouraged. Let us share the message with others. And let us also, you know, if we have questions, if we have prayer requests, if we have testimonies of what the Lord will do, please don't hesitate to comment, and I will make it a point to keep replying and responding and trusting God with you for every promise that the Lord has. And we have been doing a series about the call of God, and we've been looking at the call of God through the life of Abraham. And it's amazing what the journey that Abraham went through as the father of faith, as we know him. And it is good to see his real life, because, you know, the Bible tells us that the scriptures were written as examples for us who would also share in the same faith. You know, the life that he goes through and the life that other, you know, men of God and people in the Bible go through, they're written for us as an example, you know, so that we can be able to know what journey to take, the mistakes they made, and try and avoid them as well. And also we see the deliverance and the victory of God. And so we've been looking at the life of Abram, and today we shall be going through the covenant, God's covenant with Abraham. And this is the first, you know, the actual covenant that he makes, because we know he later on makes the covenant of circumcision. But this is the first covenant that God makes with Abraham. And we're going to look at that from Genesis chapter 15. And we shall understand why it is you must think of God's plan for your life as much, much greater than what you could ever imagine. And we shall also see how Abraham, you know, he was as good as dead, but he believed in the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So let us pray even as we start. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I worship your holy name. I thank you for this morning. Thank you for the chance to share your word, indeed, that you may communicate to us your spirit and your life. I know it's not a mistake that we are here, we are gathered to listen, and I know that you shall speak to us, O God. I pray that you may communicate your life to every situation, O God. You are God, you are faithful, and there is no one else like you, God. Blessed be your holy name. I honor and I adore you. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. So we are going to read Genesis chapter 15, and the Bible says that, from verse 1, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. I'll just repeat that. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. You know, God called Abram out of his father's household, out of everything that he had, and he told him to go to a place I will show you. and I will bless you. You know, I will make your name great. I will make you the father of nations. You know, I mean, he was told, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. And this was the blessing that God gave Abraham. And we have seen the journey of how he went to Egypt. And then how he eventually separated with Lot. And when he separated with Lot, he was told, lift up your eyes, look to the eyes, to the east, to the west, to the north, to the south. Every land that you see, I shall give it as a possession to your children. And then we have also seen how, you know, God helped Abraham to rescue Lot, who was taken along with the king of Sodom, you know. And we saw how Abraham was jealous for God's glory. You know, he did not take anything from Sodom, the king of Sodom. And we also saw how Abraham was blessed by Melchizedek, you know, the high priest, the king of righteousness and the king of peace. And so I see an interesting how God still comes to affirm his word to Abraham. God is the one who even initiated this encounter. And even from the onset, it is God who chose Abraham. And we see, you know, the amazing miracle of how God reaches out to man. The difference between world religions and true Christianity is that religions is man's effort to reach to God. True Christianity is God's effort to reach to man. And this was through his son, Jesus Christ. And so we see again, he comes and communicates to God, to Abraham in a vision, and says, do not be afraid, Abraham. It's amazing how each encounter, or most of the encounters that men have with God, the first statement, most of the time, the first statement that God says is, fear not. Why? Because as human beings, when we encounter the majesty of God, our first response is always in fear. We get scared because his presence, be it of his angels, be it of him, be it of Jesus, is so magnificent that we are bound to fear. And you see, fear cannot stand in the presence of God, because the Lord tells us that we did not receive a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of sound mind. So faith conquers fear. And so he is told, Abraham, do not fear. Abraham might have had many fears, and we shall see what are the fears that he had. And he tells him, I am your shield, your very great reward. God was just telling Abraham that I am your protection. And he's telling us again this morning that I am your protection. I am your shield. Arrows may come. People may attack you. Things may come against you. You might feel the world is crumbling around you. But he told Abraham, and he's telling us this morning, that I am your shield. I am your protection. I am your divine protection. Like, for lack of a better word, I am your bulletproof. In our time, maybe it will be the, you know, the missile dome, the shield. You know that when, you know, when missiles are thrown over Jerusalem, there is a missile shield, a dome that just counters that. You might not see it, but it exists. A first line of defense. And this is what God was telling Abraham, that do not be afraid. I am your shield. Wow. You know, as watchmen, we might hire guards and watchmen, but guards, when things are tough, they take off. They alert you and they run. Because everyone's first instinct is to preserve their own life. that God tells Abraham that I am your shield. And that means that no attacks of the evil one, no plans of wickedness, no thrones of darkness can attack us if the Lord is our shield. And we see that even in the life of Job. When the devil, when God asked, have you considered my servant Job? And the devil said, is it not because you have placed a hedge of protection around his life? And everything that he has. As a believer, a true believer has a shield of protection around him. Angels are sent on assignment to keep us. And likewise, we see in the life of Abraham that God tells him that I am your shield, your very great reward. You know, rewards come as a result of, you know, when you've done well, you're given a reward. You're given, you know, a token of appreciation. You're given an inheritance. You're given, you know, a salary or, you know, a bonus. God was telling Abraham that, you know what? I am your reward. I am your blessing. I am the one that you can hold on to, that is greater, that is bigger, that is mightier than anything in this world. I'll ask a question. Is God your reward? Is God your shield? Is God your inheritance? Is God the one that you look up to? Is God your everything? Or you're still counting on things? You're still looking unto men? You're still expecting men to give you? Maybe you're still expecting men to make a way for you? Maybe you're counting on your uncles, you're counting on the job, you're counting on a contract, you're counting on the inheritance of your parents. The Bible tells us, cursed is he that puts his trust in man. Cursed is he that puts his trust in the arm of flesh. Abraham, God was telling Abraham, and he's telling us today that I am your great reward. There is a great reward that awaits us in a place beyond this. There is a city whose foundations and whose builder and architect is the Lord. There is a place where there is no more tears, no more crying. Jesus told his disciples that in my Father's house there are many mansions, and I go there to prepare a place for you. You might even be a billionaire now, but whatever house you have cannot compare to that city that the Lord is creating for us. What we see here on earth, in fact, the Bible tells us that heaven and earth will pass away. This earth will be destroyed by fire. A time will come when this will be destroyed. No matter how much you have, there are things that you cannot buy with money. And that's why he tells Abraham that your very great reward. And verse 2 speaks of Abraham's human nature, humanly. And he's just like me, he's just like you. And look at the question that he asks God. But Abraham said, oh, sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. Verse 5, he took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Verse 6, Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. And Abram again asked, but Abram said, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I shall gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, and each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. And it goes on and on. I will not read it. You can read that up to the end. And how the Lord passes through in a vision and tells him, no, for a certain, you know, this we can cover possibly tomorrow. But I just want us to focus on this question that Abram asks. Oh, sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? Maybe you are in a state like this, like Abram. Abram was above 75 years old when God called him. And this is about roughly between 75 and the time he was 85. When his wife, you know, is 10 years younger than him. And he knows, the Bible says, I mean, when we read in Romans chapter 4, it says, Abram reckoned the fact that his body was as good as dead. He had gone beyond the, you know, the point of childbearing. He was, he could see that his wife was childless. And he had, God had already blessed him so, so much with every physical blessing. He had, you know, he had wealth. He had 318 men trained under his household. His possessions were so great. We had already seen that in Abraham 13, that the Lord had increased them, that they had to separate with Lot because the land could not support them. So this is a man who was wealthy, a man who had sheep. He had, you know, in their time, that was the source of their wealth. I mean, the animals they kept. And even today, those that keep animals, those are into agriculture. I mean, they are feeding into the system of the Lord. You know, the seed planting and harvesting, which will not cease. They're blessed. Because God put in a mystery of multiplication in the seed. And those that tap into his principles experience that. So he was blessed as we men understand blessing. But he still felt that there was something more. And likewise, he had a limitation. He had a place that he still felt that God, this still you haven't done. And maybe you're there. God has been, you know, revealing himself. He's been doing one thing after another, and yet you still feel there is still one thing. There is still one thing. Maybe it is like Abraham to get a child. You have done, you know, you've gone to all the doctors. You've even tried IVF. You've even tried, you know, all procedures, you've tried herbal, whatever it is that you have tried. And yet, it's still not coming to pass. Maybe it is jobs you have tried, you have gotten all the papers, you have the PhD, maybe you don't even have them, maybe it is a breakthrough. Maybe you're trying to go international. Maybe there's a thing that appears like it is just beyond you. And this was the situation for Abraham. And he reckoned, he considered that, what is the joy of having all this if he cannot be able to pass it on to a child, his own child? And for sure, I can imagine he must have been frustrated. He will look at his wealth and just think, oh no, a servant will inherit it. Eliezer of Damascus. And so he asked God. And it's okay to ask God these questions. It's okay. And Jesus told his disciples, up to now, you've not asked anything in my name. But when the time comes, from now onwards, ask. And you shall receive, so that your joy may be complete. You know, God desires that our joy becomes complete. God desires that our joy becomes complete. Psalms 37 verse 4, it tells us, delight yourselves in the Lord, and he shall fulfill the desires of your heart. Proverbs 10 verse 24 tells us that the desires of the righteous shall be granted. God is even concerned with our desires. Maybe it is to get married. I tell you, let us see what Abraham did. He spoke his heart. And this morning, even as I share, I want you to speak your heart unto the Lord. I want you to bring that impossibility to the throne of the Lord, to the mercy seat. There is a throne in heaven, and it's called the throne of grace, for which we can come boldly through the blood of Jesus and receive mercy and grace for our time of need. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. You can receive mercy and grace for our time of need. Then the Lord answered, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. The Lord is able to do that which men cannot do, that which your money cannot do, that which your education cannot do, that which your connections cannot do. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to do. Ephesians 3 verse 20 tells us that, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above. Let me just repeat those words. Now to him who is able, to God, who is able to do, the ability to do lies with God, exceedingly, abundantly, above, much more than all you could ever ask of or imagine. God can do exceedingly, abundantly. This is overflow. This is the zone of God surprising you exponentially, miraculously, beyond human understanding, beyond human capacity. That even when people will ask, how did God do it? How did it happen? You have no answer. The answer is, it can only be God. It is just God. You just take the glory and give it back to God. You cannot take the glory for yourself, because you know this one, it cannot be me. It could not have been me. It could not have been me. It's just God. Children, jobs, land, houses. God told the Israelites, I will give you houses to live in you never built, cities you never built. You will eat from farms you never planted. And indeed, God gave them. There are things that God will do that will amaze you. My brother, my sister, ask in faith. And that is what we see Abraham did in verse 6. Abraham believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. Do you believe in God? Do you believe that the Lord can do it? Do you believe that the Lord will do more than you can even imagine? More than your imagination? More than what you can think of? Right now, maybe you're thinking of a job to God that is so small, he wants you to be the employer. Maybe you're just thinking of, how can I even just get to university? God has already seen you as a professor. Do you know God's imagination? God's thoughts are far much above our thoughts, our imaginations, our expectations. The God we serve, he can do it. He will do it. He can go beyond, above what you can think of, imagine. That's the God that we serve. All you have to do is believe in him. The Bible tells us that Abraham believed. He did not ignore. He understood his situation, but he believed in the Lord. And you see, the Lord credited it to him as righteousness. For lack of a better analogy, his belief activated God to act on his behalf. His faith, that's why this is where we call him the father of faith. Without wavering in his faith, he was quickened. He was encouraged in his faith and he trusted in the Lord. He considered the God who calls the things that are not as if they were. He is able to give life to his dead mortal body. And for sure the Lord did it. And he will do it for us this morning. I want to believe in you. Maybe you're like that person saying that, I believe, but help my unbelief. The Lord can also help your unbelief. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I worship you, God. Oh, ye, I glorify you, Lord. What is that stands before your children? What is that mighty mountain that stands before Zerubbabel? It shall be removed, not by might, not by power, but by your spirit. What is that thing that troubles your child this morning? Oh Lord, may it be removed in the name of Jesus. May your word seep through that I, the Lord, shall do it for your child. And Father, indeed, that which they are trusting you for, be it resources, be it children, be it inheritance, be it business ideas, be it your calling, be it your anointing, be it spiritual inheritance, that which indeed they're looking unto you, O God. God, I pray that you may surprise them. Oh, that you may go above their thoughts, above their imaginations, that you may do exceedingly abundantly above. Give us new dreams, give us new ideas, give us new desires, give us the insight, oh God. Give us that blessing that money cannot buy, that blessing that money cannot buy. May it rest upon your children this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and believe. And for those that are not born again, I pray that you may convict them of their sin and that they may accept you as Savior and Lord so that your blessing may flow in their lives. In Jesus' name I pray and believe. Amen. God bless you. Bye.